Some people think that it means something opposed to religion. That obviously is not correct. What it means is that it is a state which honours all faiths equally and gives them equal opportunities. India has a long history of religious tolerance. In a country like India, which has many faiths and religions, no real nationalism can be built up except on the basis of secularity.
The deist God is certainly an improvement over the monster of the Bible. Unfortunately, it is scarcely more likely that he exists, or ever did. In any of its forms, the God hypothesis is unnecessary. The God hypothesis is also very close to being ruled out by the laws of probability. I shall come to that in Chapter 4, after dealing with the alleged proofs of the existence of God in Chapter 3. Meanwhile, I turn to agnosticism and the erroneous notion that the existence or non-existence of God is an untouchable question, forever beyond the reach of science. The poverty of agnosticism. The robust, muscular Christian haranguing us from the pulpit of my old school chapel admitted a sneaking regard for atheists. They at least had the courage of their misguided convictions. What this preacher couldn't stand was agnostics, namby-pamby, mushy-pap, weak tea, weedy, pallid fence-sitters. He was partly right, but for wholly the wrong reason. In the same vein, according to Quentin de la Bedoyère, the Catholic historian Hugh Ross Williamson
respected the committed religious believer and also the committed atheist. He reserved his contempt for the wishy-washy, boneless mediocrities who flapped around in the middle.
There is nothing wrong with being agnostic in cases where we lack evidence one way or the other. It is the reasonable position. Carl Sagan was proud to be agnostic when asked whether there was life elsewhere in the universe. When he refused to commit himself, his interlocutor pressed him for a gut feeling, and he immortally replied,
"But I try not to think with my gut. Really, it's okay to reserve judgment until the evidence is in."
The question of extraterrestrial life is open. Good arguments can be mounted both ways, and we lack the evidence to do more than shade the probabilities one way or the other. Agnosticism, of a kind, is an appropriate stance on many scientific questions, such as what caused the end Permian extinction, the greatest mass extinction in fossil history. It could have been a meteorite strike, like the one that, with greater likelihood on present evidence, caused the later extinction of the dinosaurs. But it could have been any of various other possible causes or a combination. Agnosticism about the causes of both these mass extinctions is reasonable. How about the question of God? Should we be agnostic about him too? Many have said definitely yes, often with an air of conviction that verges on protesting too much. Are they right? I'll begin by distinguishing two kinds of agnosticism. TAP, or temporary agnosticism in practice, is the legitimate fence-sitting where there really is a definite answer one way or the other, but we so far lack the evidence to reach it, or don't understand the evidence, or haven't time to read the evidence, etc. TAP would be a reasonable stance towards the Permian extinction. There is a truth out there, and one day we hope to know it, though for the moment we don't. But there is also a deeply inescapable kind of fence-sitting, which I shall call PAP, Permanent Agnosticism in Principle. The fact that the acronym spells a word, PAP, used by that old-school preacher is almost accidental. The PAP style of agnosticism is appropriate for questions that can never be answered, no matter how much evidence we gather, because the very idea of evidence is not applicable. The question exists on a different plane or in a different dimension, beyond the zones where evidence can reach. An example might be that philosophical chestnut, the question whether you see red as I do. Maybe your red is my green or something completely different from any colour that I can imagine. Philosophers cite this question as one that can never be answered, no matter what new evidence might one day become available. And some scientists and other intellectuals are convinced, too eagerly in my view, that the question of God's existence belongs in the forever inaccessible PAP category. From this, as we shall see, they often make the illogical deduction that the hypothesis of God's existence and the hypothesis of his non-existence have exactly equal probability of being right. The view that I shall defend is very different. Agnosticism about the existence of God belongs firmly in the temporary or TAP category. Either he exists or he doesn't. It is a scientific question. One day we may know the answer, and meanwhile, we can say something pretty strong about the probability. In the history of ideas, there are examples of questions being answered that had been earlier judged forever out of science's reach.